Although Friday, January the 6th, was Epiphany Day, today we celebrate Epiphany along with the baptism of Jesus. According to Webster, Epiphany has the essential meaning of an illuminating discovery, a realization or disclosure, a revealing scene or moment. Therefore, it's no surprise that in religious terms, Epiphany means an appearance or manifestation, especially of a divine being. Now, at one time or another, we have all experienced an epiphany of one sort or another in our lives. It may have come in school, wrestling with maybe algebra or trigonometry and logarithm. It may be in trying to find an answer to a particular haunting question that when suddenly it all comes together and the answer is there. It's that light bulb which suddenly lights up in your mind. Some may be very memorable and life-changing revelations, while others just a momentary importance and placed in the recesses of our memory banks. You know, I guess I recently came to one of these moments in rewriting the Advent series on the traditions of Christmas. The celebration of Christmas had always been a confusing set of traditions and conflicting set of meanings to me. Suddenly it came to me that on December the 25th, we actually celebrate three distinctively different holidays, with controversy, causing the controversy of what we call the holiday. They have all different meanings and priorities and symbolisms and history. Of course, they were winter solstice or Santa or Fantasy Day and Christmas, the celebration of the Nativity. Although this personal epiphany may not be enlightening or acceptable to others, it has been for me. In short, epiphany moments happen, though, to all of us. Anytime. 2,000 years ago, an even more important and life-changing epiphany would be experienced around the birth of a baby. An angel would be the agent of disclosure, the agent of epiphany. First to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Then to Mary and Joseph. And then to the shepherds. Finally, the epiphany came to foreign wise men from some eastern region, which may have been in today's Iraq or Iran, Saudi Arabia or Yemen. This disclosure would be in the form of an unusually bright star, which was unfamiliar to the wise men who were well trained in astronomy. But they had heard that such a phenomena was a sign of the announcement of a Jewish king being born. If this was in fact the case, then they wanted to be assured by seeing and paying homage to this newborn king. This would have been especially important because such an event may have changed the political makeup of the region. And assuredly, it would cause much turbulence among the people of their world. So the contingent of foreign wise men made their 600 to 800 mile journey. Of course, we only speculate that there were only three wise men, when in fact there could have been more. The number three has been derived from them bearing three gifts. You know, even though today 600 to 800 miles is not much of at all in journeying, but in that day, this was a long, hard journey with much danger and even hardships. Most certainly it would have demanded many others to accompany them in order to assist in their needs along the way. So it was probably a fairly large contingent. But not knowing the location of this new king, they naturally went to Jerusalem searching for him. But when King Herod heard of these foreigners searching for a newborn king of the Jews, he called together all the Jewish authorities, asking them where any future king was to be born. And all these authorities agree, in Bethlehem of Judea. With this information, he sent for the foreigners to tell them what he had learned. Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. And now, of course, Herod was shrewd. He was shrewd in that if he sent his own searchers with the Jews, the Jews would not tell them any kind of truth if they knew where the baby was. And therefore, the Jews knew that that baby would be in danger. When the wise men found the baby, he was not at that time in a manger or a stable, but in the confines of a home, perhaps awaiting the time to make their journey back to their hometown. Therefore, there was some time between the birth and the wise men. It also had to happen sometime after the rite of circumcision, or 40 days after birth. Some even say it was up to maybe even 2 years later. Regardless, they did find the baby and offered him gold, the sign of kings, frankincense, the incense of worship, myrrh, the perfume of burial. Now, upon their visit, they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, so they quietly returned home, taking another route than Herod would ever expect them to take. Now, this was the final epiphany of the Nativity. God had entered the lives of these unsuspecting people in order to make the sudden disclosure or revelation about the birth of his son, who would bring people throughout the ages to their own epiphany of the good news of the angels. Now, the next epiphany of sorts was when Jesus was 12 and feared loss, but was actually in the temple in Jerusalem. Upon being found and chastised by Mary, he responded, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" Although everyone else saw nothing of real note in this, it is recorded that Mary kept these things in her heart. She must have reflected back upon the angel's visitation, announcing that she would be the mother of a very specially appointed son by God. Perhaps you could say Mary was involved in an evolving epiphany, which had not as yet fully been understood. Now, it is proper now in the church calendar that we celebrate the baptism of Jesus immediately after the celebration of Epiphany. In the Eastern Orthodox tradition, it's the same day. Jesus' baptism is the story of the next major epiphany or disclosure given to us by God. We know through Luke's account that prior to the birth of Jesus, there was some kind of close relationship between Mary and Elizabeth, the mother of John. This relationship must have continued throughout their lives, since it seems that Jesus was first a follower of the itinerant preacher, John the Baptist. At least he knew of John. He knew enough of him to come to him to be baptized. John, on the other hand, knew enough about Jesus to question why he needed to be baptized. It seems as though John already had an epiphany about Jesus and didn't need the actual epiphany experience which was to follow. He said, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" And then Jesus answered, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, in order to fulfill his humanity, he must be baptized so that his divinity would become known and validated. John understood and was further convinced by what he experienced and disclosed to him. This was an epiphany experienced directly from God. Just listen. "And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came out of the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased.'" An epiphany moment. In essence, the epiphany experience happens at every baptism. God's Spirit, his presence, becomes a vital living part of our lives. It is this presence which continues to be with us throughout all life's journey. Every time we feel his presence, we come to a moment of personal epiphany, of knowing that we are a vital part of his vast creation, and that we are a recipient of his great love. It is with this epiphany that we are able to live out this love among our fellow human being and within his whole creation. This allows us to be able to selflessly see the needs of others and then work towards answering their needs so that they too may experience the fulfillment of being a child of God. You know, in this sense, Epiphany Lutheran Church experiences such an epiphany every year. When we see the needs of those in the world who we may never personally meet, but know of their great need. Our epiphany comes when we realize that we can make a difference in their lives through the angel tree. It is through this epiphany that we not only give hope, but we actually give life and breath to those who would otherwise die. What an epiphany experience. Every year, this epiphany must never stop with the angel tree, though, but must always be a present factor in our lives. When we may be in despair, we must help others to a new revelation or experience which uplifts us all and gives us all hope and a renewed sense of life. When we have time of elation, we need to celebrate together and give thanks to God. Our name, Epiphany Lutheran Church, must always be a reminder of who we are as the body of Christ, by letting us live out the disclosure, the epiphany of the angel's message of good news to all. It is then that we will be able to come to the realization of the psalmist's plea. Oh Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. The epiphany will be knowing that peace within our lives. Amen.